been blessed to get to bed with me.
Yes, thank you.
But I am not acquainted with this. Yes, indeed. I am sure you will soon realize that you do not believe it. I am not acquainted with communication between our worldly hosts. Indeed, although I have made many journeys back to your world since my coming here long time ago now, this is the first time that I've ever endeavored to speak in this fashion. So you must, I beg you, patient. Be patient.
Yes, thank you, well.
Sometimes I have returned to my old haunts, but I see so much change since my day in the world. Indeed, even in places where perhaps one would have expected this change, there is still a great change. I never cease to amaze myself at certain things that have happened in my time and day. The countryside was filthy weather. Indeed, the countryside was fraught with danger, and it was necessary to be armed when you visited a place of any distance. Much has changed in so many ways. I cannot say that many of the changes have been for the better, but obviously many of the changes have not benefited men also. I notice particularly the many changes in design and architecture, and I must say, to my way of thinking, there has been such changes would not please me. In my time, of course, we built the great houses, the great prisons, the great arcades, which still stand today as proud as the day when they were first erected. When I was in Bath, when we were building, extending, and planning, we did nothing haphazard. Nothing as you do today. Of course, you may say that there was more land, more freedom to be able to express oneself, more opportunity. This difficulty, this is true, but it seems to me there is no excuse for much that I have seen erected since my time, particularly in these latter years. That ugliness seems to thrive, and line and artistry seems to be a secondary consideration. Everything that we did in our time was planned. Planned from the point of view not only for the comfort of the inhabitants, but of course for the aesthetic point of view. Of course, it's true that most of our buildings were planned for the middle and the upper classes. And of course, I suppose, from the sanitary point of view, many of our buildings, in comparison to yours, was said in decking. And yet we didn't go about unwashed, unkempt, as some people seem to imagine. Indeed, I would suggest that among the classes to which I belonged, we possibly took more pride in our appearance and cleanliness than many a younger person today, even though they have more facilities. Bath in the 18th century, as I remember it, was a city of elegance, a city of good manners. Admittedly, there were many rogues and vagabonds, good speech and good appearance and consideration for others were the prime factors of our life. We were interested in the arts and the crafts, and we were considered gentlemen. Not that then, even as today, yes, to be a gentleman, this is the only niche that you had to be an extremely wealthy person. Breeding and character, good manners, constituted a gentleman. Of course, if you happen to have a title, it has been submitted to a great healthy society. But in my day and age, society, as it is termed, hobnobbed with the lesser people, the lesser folk. If they had something of quality to offer, if they had artistic ability, they were given every opportunity. Many great artists, musicians and actors, composers, poets, were taken up by the gentry. They were financially helped, assisted, and given good quarters. We were more concerned with living in the right things. It's true, we had much to contend with in regard to other things. We lacked, perhaps, many things which today you take for granted. We didn't have the medical knowledge and the medical aid and care that you have. But nevertheless, there was much to regret in my age. There was much to admire. And we lived life to the full. We hadn't any false, or very few false values. We weren't afraid to call what you say a spade a spade. Of course, we bowed the head to the clerics, but it was only temporary. We didn't allow that to stand in the way of our happiness and our enjoyment. And if we had perhaps underneath a greater understanding of true religion than people give us credit for, I have known in my time many great men, many men of fashion and of fortune, many men in high places, and the men that I most admired were the men of true ability, the men who created so much that has remained still in your world to be admired. There are only in our way of life, in our houses and our buildings, but in our writings, I have known them all. Sheridan, Boswell, many men that you today still have regard and remembrance for. For they were men who were able to achieve in their lifetime something that was to withstand the passing years. but many men have forgotten. And all their batteries are broken, won or lost. But those so-called material achievements have passed from remembrance, but still remembered. So much that has been written, so much that has been composed, so much that has been erected, and stands the test of time. Those who would build for posterity are the ones who themselves have seen the truth, whatever fashion it may take, whether it is in architecture, whether it is in the theatre, in the play, whether it is in the writings or the music, where they're expressing something of the divine spirit, there is eternal life. There is something which will withstand the shocks and the pressures of material thoughts and time. I sometimes return me to Bath, and still I see standing fragile bricks are those buildings which are still a credit to the men of my time. I was there for many years. My name, by the way, is Ralph Thomas.
Who?
Ralph Thomas.
Ralph Thomas.
I knew, of course, the great ones like Nash, old Nash, called him, the beautiful one. Was far from beautiful, he was as ugly as thing. But he was a fine man nevertheless. And he was a man of foresight, to some extent wisdom. He liked everything correct. And he changed, indeed I think one might say he changed the manners of the ability and the quality, and indeed set a standard which present generations might well emulate. Indeed, much that is good that has come down to you has directly or indirectly come from the master of the therapies, a man that you call Nash. Of course, there are many others that one might mention who contributed much. My century, I called it my century, but it was my last time on earth, was a period, I think, when much change for the better took place. It was the age of a sense of reason and understanding, an age of culture and education, an age of enlightenment. People sometimes, perhaps it is because they do not know sufficiently, do not understand enough about this. But you know, between the years 1725 and 1825, as far as one can say as to time, great advances were made in many different fields of activity. Values changed. People began to see and become in consequence differently. Of course, we had dire poverty, but even so, there was great advancement. The middle classes began to emerge, began to play their part in politics and in so many other ways. Even then, had promise, quite often opportunity would present itself, and he would be taken and given guidance and help, particularly the arts and the sciences. We were beginning to come out of the darkness. It was the age of illumination. It was the beginning of a new era. It was the beginning of many changes. And I like sometimes to think back on those days and think how very fortunate we were. Bath, particularly, and indeed several other faces that one might mention, the two men heard about, also began to admire these places, not just for pleasure and vice, these things, of course, for part of one's experience, part of life itself, and indeed much that is called by bad names was not as bad as often it was made to see. Often those things which are most natural are considered unnatural, and the things that are often unnatural are considered natural. People must have their standards and their ideas, but we were an emerging people, particularly we in England. In France too, I myself had many opportunities to study the French. They too were emerging. I know the revolution in France changed the whole system. But nevertheless, under Louis, much change was already beginning to take place. He was not a bad man, a foolish man. I say that George was a foolish man. It wasn't so much the kings that mattered, it was the people. And among the middle classes particularly, they were pushing their way gradually to the forefront in so many different fields of activity. The world was changing. Of course, as we all know, for certain things that happened at a later date, that set back progress, set back the advancements that we had cultivated and started. And in America too, and in the Americas, one could talk for an hour about my time. It was a wonderful time in which to live.
Isn't this what they're doing now? All that firelight?
I am particularly interested on this side of life in architecture, design, in trying to create, and indeed I'm sure achieving in creation, some of the aspects of beauty that I sense and feel so strongly. And indeed I'm often approached to assist to help in that way. And indeed my work consists partly of helping people here in the direction of the thing, in the design of the habitations in which they live. And also I've always been interested, of course, in medicine. I've always been interested in the healing of the sick. And also I do a certain amount of work to get to my ability to help those in your world who are sick and ailing. And I visit hospitals, and I take a great interest in new ideas and new theories that are brought forward for cures of various diseases. And that, coupled with my interest in the arts, indeed, one might say my life is so full, for I've interested in all that is good and beneficial to man. Sometimes, perhaps, if I am unable to come again, I will tell you further of these things. But it is a great pleasure to me to come, if only for a short time, to say to you these things, so that others who may listen to the voice and spirit, they know that time in itself is insignificant, and life is continuous truly, and that those who once were dead still do live, and that no matter what time or age it may have been of their earthly journey, still they come from the realms of the spirit, entering into the world of the flesh, endeavoring to encourage, to inspire, to guide, to help, where it is possible, particularly in those things that are of God, those things which are of the eternal spirit of man, those things that are indestructible, those things which indeed truly are the things of life, life eternal.
Could you tell us something about your love life on that side is like to the world you're living?
Possibly, my friend, some future time.
Oh.
I energy is not possible for me now to come to you. How do them to stay unto you? All who listen to the voice of the Spirit, and they who come, their we may well be, from that differing vibration or condition of Christ, according to our perception of spiritual realization of truth, wherever we may come from, whatever the condition of life to which we belong, to come into the darkness of your world, to bring illumination, to bring strength, to bring truly the understanding of the things that are of God. Be therefore of good faith, and know we are ever near thee, endeavoring to guide, to uplift and inspire thee. May the peace of the Holy Spirit be upon you, if each one now or lives. Farewell.